This Citywire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies. From healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution, Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.
Hi, you're listening to The Advice Show. I'm Zachariah Sharif. I'm here with Director of Celtic Financial Planning, Rob Lewis, and we're here to talk about the budget. Rob, how are you?
Yeah, good, Zach. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. Very cold at the moment, but other than that, I'm all good. I'd love to talk to you about the budget, if I may, last Thursday. It was quite the reset from the previous mini-budget and the sort of events of the last few months, really. It's been quite a tumultuous period, I think, for all of us. But just first off, listening, getting your reaction from that Thursday, what was your first thoughts?
Yeah, no, completely. I think it was nice to have a budget that was going to provide stability, and we've seen that from the markets. They seem to have received it fairly well. Obviously, you know, a budget needs to stack up at the end of the day, and clearly there was an issue there around debt. So some changes have been made, definitely some surprises, and I can certainly see there's going to be some challenges on the back of the budget as well.
Absolutely. First off, sort of just going straight into it, I'd like to chat first just about the changes to the capital gains tax. So the reduction in the CGT allowance is £6,000. Obviously, this is something that I imagine will affect a lot of your clients, a lot of people just seeking financial advice in general. So how do you think this tax change went, was it something that you would have liked to see beforehand?
Yeah, it certainly came for me as a surprise. I know there was a lot of talk about allowances being changed. And the capital gains tax allowance is a big change, you know, 50% reduction next year. And it's certainly going to impact our clients on two fronts, I would say. The first one being the client set that we're seeing more and more where they're trying to offload their rental properties. Clearly, you know, rents and property has changed over the years and it's less advantageous than what it used to be. So we have seen clients looking at disposing property, and clearly they're going to be wrapped up in that extra tax duty there. And then I think ultimately the average investor really will suffer as well. Certainly those that have investment accounts, so money's outside of your ISAs and your pensions, will certainly see an implication of potential cashment. Now, I know this year valuations have been quite suppressed, so maybe gains aren't there, but you know, if in the future we see capital gains and clients want to take withdrawals from those investment accounts, it's certainly going to cost them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, you know, talking about things that might potentially affect clients. There's also, I'd also like to discuss the lowering of the additional rate of tax threshold of 45% to £125,000. Is this something that you would have liked to see? It's quite a massive change from them decided to scrap it in the budget altogether, and now actually knowing the threshold and by default, sort of, you know, it's a tax rise in essence. What are your thoughts towards that? And, you know, is it something you were calling?
Yeah, it's certainly a massive U-turn, isn't it, from getting rid of 45% tax to reducing the threshold, a big U-turn. I think the average client won't be too concerned about it. Certainly here, we don't tend to, in North Wales predominantly, have big earners like that
right.
Be directly impacted. Certainly there are going to be big earners impacted, but you know, it probably works out £500-600 extra tax charge. So they'll probably take that on the chin because, you know, typically someone earning that, they've probably got the means to be able to cope with that sort of tax change. But that said, you know, it doesn't take away the fact that it's certainly going to hurt them, and there's certainly an extra tax charge there. Would I have liked to have seen it? I don't have an opinion on it, if I'm being honest. You know, clearly we have to get the budget into the black, and we have to make sure it stacks up. That's a priority. I think my priority looking at the budget would have been, how could we have supported small businesses better, rather than, you know, being concerned at those tax thresholds.
Absolutely. We'll come back to contents of the budget, but just in terms of small businesses, not that I'm in a mind to promote our other publications, but we had a great piece from Wealth Manager on whether it was possibly the wrong move, as a lot of people were saying that growth, that the way to get out of the recession is to grow our way out, and therefore protect public investment. Is that a sentiment you would share, particularly in regards to small businesses and in regards to growing our economy?
Yeah, no, completely. I'm a huge supporter of small businesses. I'm a small business myself. I think having a good small business economy is really important. I think it creates for a robust and diversified economy as well. And certainly small businesses help to create lots of jobs. And I think certainly this budget has hampered that. And potentially, you know, if we go into detail now or not, you know, on that point around the minimum wage being increased, it's certainly going to make businesses second guess or certainly take a second time to think about creating a job when the threshold, the minimum benchmark has been lifted so much.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, going back to talking about things that might impact clients, I appreciate the loan threshold might not. It's something that might take a little chill, and I guess that goes fiscal drag as well, right? But I'd like to talk about pensions, if I may, because there wasn't that much on pensions, but there was a little bit regarding the triple lock being retained, and you know, the state pension going up, rising in whatever is in line with inflation or average earnings. Is the triple lock something that you were pretty confident would be retained? You know, what did you make of previously in the sort of mini budget, the whispers of sort of getting rid of the triple lock? But is it something that you thought would be kept or would be lost?
Yeah, I think first of all, I'm pleased on a pension front about the budget, because there was nothing there in regards to you know, pension allowances, lifetime allowances, annual allowances. So none of that was changed, which was quite reassuring. That was one area that I was worried about. You know, could they change tax relief or, you know, pensions rules generally? So I'm glad to see that wasn't altered. In regards to the state pension, it's clearly a huge win for those that are at retirement or near state pension age. Having your state pension increased by 10% is obviously going to go a massive way towards offsetting the cost of living crisis that we got. I'll be honest, I was surprised though. I thought they may have said, actually, we'll increase it by a fixed amount rather than doing the full 10.1%. So that did come as a bit of a surprise. And yet, I would absolutely say it's a huge win for people on the state pension.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably a necessary win as well, I believe, sometime. And also, you know, talk about things that might affect clients. I wondered what your thoughts were on the dividend tax-free allowance being cut. So, you know, that's cut to £1,000 for dividends in 2023, and then a further £500 in 2024. So obviously this is all, you know, all in the name of raising money to get our way out of a COVID impact, you know, Brexit impact, recession, or whatever it may be. But how do you think that'll impact clients, their thoughts and their behaviours going forward?
Yeah, it's certainly going to impact some clients, certainly some clients that rely on direct equities where they have a dividend produced each year. It's going to have an implication there. To be honest, again, it's another area that I am surprised, because we've seen them really cull the dividend allowance anyway massively over the years. So they've basically taken it a lot further again, which again is going to impact those small businesses again. You know, small businesses, they pay their corporation tax, they pay their other taxes as well. And, you know, having that benefit of a dividend being tax-free actually could be a bit of a motivator for being, you know, your own sole trader, your own limited company. So, you know, where is the inspiration going to come from to be an entrepreneur going forwards if we keep taking away some of the benefits that typically we had of being an entrepreneur? So that worries me, because, you know, that entrepreneurial spirit is what we need. You know, we need those new companies coming to the fold, creating new jobs, creating new technologies, new products, new services. And, you know, if we take away all those incentives, where does it leave us?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I guess that also goes for the lack of public investment, sort of goes in tandem with that, in terms of creating an entrepreneurial spirit in this country. And I'd also like to ask you as well, just what you think of freezing inheritance tax thresholds. Again, this is, you know, I guess it's part of a sort of stealth tax policy across the board, really, of trying to raise income without being that politically negative, I suppose. But in terms of, so those are frozen for another 2 years. I just wanted to get your thoughts on just inheritance tax generally, and what you think your clients' views would be on it.
Yeah, I think we've sort of half, certainly as financial planners, half come to the thinking that this is to be expected now, that those allowances are going to increase. I think it really hammers home for any financial planner to make sure you do the work with your clients, do an up-to-date KYC, you know, find out what assets they've got, what's taxable, what isn't taxable. Again, thankfully, pensions are still outside of that remit with inheritance tax. So there's certainly great planning opportunities. And this is what gets me excited about financial planning now, is that actually even you know, an average investor can really benefit from good financial advice, because these allowances are staying the same. Yet as time goes by, property prices increase, investment values increase, hopefully as well. Well, yeah, more people are certainly going to be caught up in it. So, you know, we need to see more and more clients about good planning, because I always say jokingly, inheritance tax is a voluntary tax. You don't have to pay it. You know, if you do the right planning, whether it's gifting money, whether it's giving it to charity, setting up policies, there's really good planning that could be put in place to avoid having to pay that tax bill. And, you know, a lot of people don't see it as a problem because they're not going to be here, but it's certainly going to be a problem for their children, you know, having to pick up the bill from the estate.
Absolutely. And, you know, I believe it was a few months ago now, Just Group released a report about the rise in living inheritance. The sort of the rise in, you know, people, not just for reasons such as, you know, weddings or tuition fees, but reasons to give a living inheritance just because of the cost of living. And that's you know, becoming an increasing phenomenon. I believe the statistic they had was 42% of advisors felt that these things would increase, and they would cite the cost of living as a reason why. Do you think that's set to continue?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going through that generation now, aren't we, where, you know, certainly the likes of my parents and that generation, they've gone through what's been a great time on property values. You know, they bought the house for $6,000-$7,000 and it's now worth £200,000-£500,000. So yeah, they've gone through that generation where they've seen that huge growth in asset values, and they're starting to pass away. And, you know, that inheritance has been passed down now at quite, you know, quite a rate. And I'm certainly seeing it with my clients that they're already quite financially secure, plus they're getting another £400,000-£700,000 inheritance going on top. So, you know, that demographic, that generation now really need to be doing some planning.
Yeah.
We are seeing more and more clients giving away their disposable income in their lifetime to help their kids and their family and their grandchildren now, because of certainly the cost of living crisis. What's been interesting, certainly over the last few years, is the number of clients giving money down the sort of generation pipeline to help with property purchases, because we've seen valuations increase so heavily. And I think with interest rate rises and mortgage costs rising, we could see more of that happening now.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And you know, of course, and that's all linked to, I think, the latest forecast. I mean, if it's a speculation, it's a mug's game, but I think the latest forecast for property things is for them to fall about 20%. In property, and sort of just a word on that. I'd just like to ask you about the stamp duty cut being reversed. And do you think this is a good move in terms of, you know, trying to get more and more people onto the property ladder, in the face of perhaps falling prices as well?
Yeah, if we see a reduction in property prices, that's going to be a good thing. It will help offset some of the damage that we're seeing from higher interest rates. And the increase in stress testing as well. That's the other crucial thing. It's not only your monthly payments going to be more, but your affordability has been impacted now because of the stress testing with higher rates. So, I'll be honest. I'm really worried for first time buyers, I suppose. It's been difficult anyway. It's a super challenging time at the moment. So, you know, any support you can get from your family will be greatly received, I suppose. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult period. I do see mortgage rates stabilizing a little bit more going into next year once lenders have got their head around where the Bank of England base rate will lie and where that will end up. The stamp duty, it's the same thing with any help to buy scheme at the moment. Is I think first time buyers have just got to keep in the loop, see what the changes are and see what the consequences for their own planning.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, just hopping back to small businesses for a moment. Also, what was in the statement was the energy price cap set to increase to £3,000, which obviously is much needed as the bills were forecast to go to £3,700. Do you think this will affect, small businesses with offices in terms of energy bills or anything like that, or is it just a household problem?
Absolutely, it's going to affect businesses because this price cap isn't a ultimate price cap, it's a cap on the unit price. So if you're still a small business and you particularly hospitality, they're really going to struggle. I know I've been to a couple of restaurants in London of late and they were quite cold, and clearly they're making the decision to not put the heating on, and it completely makes sense. It's a huge expense, but it's not just energy that we're seeing an increase in, whether it's Office 365 or other license fees. Lots of companies are getting in touch at the moment saying we're putting our price. Our latest one was our waste collection, our recycling collection. That's gone up 10%. So all of these increases, and in addition, if we look at the national minimum wage now increasing, not only is the wage increasing, the employer NI is going to have to increase, the pension contribution is going to have to increase. It's going to leave businesses with very few options. One of them is going to be we're going to have to put up our prices, which again doesn't help the inflation cycle. Or two, we're going to have to make cutbacks, and whether that's people or other areas of the business that they can cut back on, that's going to be a negative because ultimately, small businesses, as I said before, help to have that robust and diversified economy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to get a sense as well of, for individual clients, what those conversations with clients are going to be like. It's always interesting for me covering IFAs, and trying to hear from clients as well, and for our readers listening, because I don't know what exactly goes on in those conversations, and to be a farmer will be quite good. Just in terms of issues that you think may be affecting them, how you bring that up, and how you modify their plans.
Yeah, I think that the two big things now, it's really taking it back to basics, which is getting a really good understanding of your income and your expenditure. And this is no different whether we're talking about a personal client or a small business client. You've got to get a handle on how money comes in and how money goes out at the moment, and making sure that you're in a positive cash flow position, and where you can make cutbacks, where you can make savings and be a bit more agile, making sure that potentially you've got certain funding in place to see you through, these difficult periods that we're going through. And then where you can as well, making sure that you're building on your emergency fund as well. That's something that we've certainly seen the lessons from COVID. Having that emergency fund in place has been vitally important. It's something good financial planners always talk about clients, making sure you've got that emergency fund in place. So to be honest, I think a lot of the planning is taking it back to basics, which is what a lot of people overlook, but this is where we need to start from.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And of course, the UK is in recession now, and will be for quite some time. I just wanted to sort of round off, just get your thoughts on what you think the market's reaction to this will be, and whether, quite frankly, you think this will work. Because with the, I think one thing is just with the volatility we've seen recently, the markets have reacted pretty shockingly. So whether you think this will get us back on track and back to normality or some form of it.
Yeah, normality. Can you remember what that looked like? I say all the time, the 2020 so far has seemed like a movie script with everything that's been thrown at us, and it has been super turbulent for investors. And you'd hope that, if we can iron out these problems, if we can see inflation starting to cool, which we're starting to get the indicators in the US. I noticed the Germany production inflation report had cooled off a little bit as well. That's all going to be a positive because it will help the central banks not to be so hawkish and put up rates. So yeah, we need some progress there. Clearly, other geopolitical risks out there, whether it's China, whether it's UK, U Ukraine and Russia, things hopefully need to be resolved there in some format, which will then start helping with confidence. But I do see this budget giving the market a bit more confidence because, ultimately we can't borrow forever and not have a plan to pay it back, whether that's personally or as a business or a government, you've always got to have that plan. So I think that will certainly help the markets. We've seen it so far with gilt prices and the currency that seems to have stabled a little bit. But what's ahead, no one knows really. I'm quietly optimistic about next year. I'm hoping in my own belief system that we can't see another year quite like this one. And I think if businesses can get through this period and, you know, into maybe Q2 of next year, hopefully things start looking a little bit brighter. But, you know, as we know, there's no guarantees in the investment world.
Of course, of course. Well, on that somber but quietly positive note, I think that's a great note to end it. Rob Lewis, Director of Celtic Financial Planning, thank you so much for joining me. I've been Zach Sharif. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Advice Show. Please catch us next week for the next one.
This Citywire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies. From healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution, Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.